For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Let's open in prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you, Lord, that your word is open to us. It is an open book to us, and we praise you, Lord, for that. And Father, I ask that by your Spirit you reveal and give understanding to every person here. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight we're looking at, are you walking by faith? Now, when we talk about walking by faith, and it took me a while to understand this, because when I first became a Christian, there was hardly any teaching about faith. And I had to learn through various processes, which I won't go into detail now. But you know, there's many people who are barely exposed to any sermons about how to walk by faith, live by faith, stand by faith, speak by faith, and so on. And that's a sad thing, because Hebrews 11 says that it is impossible to please God without faith. So you would expect that that would be a top priority subject to understand, because we want to be able to please our God. And whilst we're on this earth, our life is but a short time, but a vapour, and we want to please our God. Now, I'm convinced that, and this is what I learned and had to learn, that you have to choose to believe. You have to choose to believe. For example, we have never seen the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, yet we have chosen to believe that Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. Okay, that was a miracle. And we have chosen to believe that Jesus Christ was risen and rose from the dead. We didn't see that happen. We didn't see him be crucified on the cross, and yet we choose that to believe and have faith in his death, burial and resurrection, that he paid the price for us on the cross. He purchased salvation for us. And that by his blood we are washed clean and made righteous. We are redeemed by his blood, the Bible tells us. So let's have a look first of all in Mark 9, verses 17 to 27. Mark 9, verses 17 to 27. In this passage of Scripture, a very important passage of Scripture for understanding faith, we see a man who was struggling, and I dare say that there would be many people who'd be struggling in the area of faith. But remember, I said, and I became convinced of it earlier in my Christian walk, that it comes down to choosing to believe. There's many people who choose not to believe, and therefore they would be those who have no faith or in that low category of faith. We start from verse 17 of Mark 9, and it says, "And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." Okay, let's just pause there. Do you think Jesus was pleased by faithlessness? No, he wasn't at all. Jesus is God. He was God manifest in the flesh. He is God the Son, obviously. So we know that God is not pleased if people don't have faith. Now, it's very important to understand that. And Jesus is making that statement, "How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. Okay, notice what Jesus then does. And he asked his father. So he'd have to turn to away from that demonstration of what that evil spirit is doing, and he turned to the father of the child and questioned the father. And he says, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Okay, so we see that evil spirits clearly want to destroy. Okay, so it can be in this area of ill health and torment, and we can see that. They want to destroy, they want to take away peace, they want to take away joy, they want to take away strength, all that type of thing. Okay, and the cry of the Father is felt here. You could see, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Well, he's turning to the right source, to Jesus, who is the compassionate one, okay, and who is able to help. So he's turning to the right source straight away there, and that's good. That's good, okay. Verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. So there's the possibility. There's the possibility that comes through faith. And remember, believing is integral to faith. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Okay, now notice what the Father says. Now obviously the Father's struggling. And I would say to people that are struggling in faith or walking by faith, I would say you need to turn to the Lord. And if there are problems, if there are barriers, you need to be honest with the Lord. Okay, he can see your heart. He can see your heart. And if there are things that are in the way, you need to get them out of the way. And you need to ask for help. Because isn't this what the Father is saying? Help us. Have compassion on us, help us. So Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway, the father of the child cried out and said with tears. You can virtually feel the emotion here. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. You know, so you can see this is coming from his heart. He's saying, I believe, I'm choosing to believe, help this barrier that's obviously been in the way and in the way, help thou mine unbelief. Can you see that unbelief is a barrier? Now, in Nazareth, the Bible says that unbelief caused it so that Jesus could do no mighty work there in Nazareth. And it was because of their unbelief. Okay. You'll find right through the scriptures in the Gospels that Jesus preached and taught in the synagogues and to the multitudes. So what was he doing? He was giving his word out, wasn't he? The word of God was coming out. And what does the Bible say? Romans 10:17, we all know it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He was setting the scene for faith to come, and then you see it over and over in the scriptures. Jesus says, thy faith hath made thee whole. So he brings it back to their faith to be able to connect to the power of God. And as he said that in verse 23, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. So notice that the father of the child cried out to Jesus, called him Lord. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And that's something we can do if we're struggling or we have had struggles. Rather than just say, well, I've never been able to have faith or grow in faith. I'll never get there. No, that's not the way to go. The Bible talks about faith being a seed and growing and increasing. And if you expose yourself to the word of God, faith can come. And obviously if faith is coming and coming and coming and keeping on coming and keep on coming, you can increase. But the responsibility does come a lot down to us, and we see this man was honest before the Lord, and he asked for the Lord's help. Do you think Jesus wanted to help him? He did, didn't he? He wanted to help him. Verse 25, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. Now you would think, if you were just using natural reasoning, you would think instantly there would be something happen and nothing could happen adverse from that time. But what do you note? What do you note in the next verse? Verse 26. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. So what happened before came out? So you think about the next few seconds after Jesus gave that command. What was happening? Oh, it seemed to be worse than ever. Can you see what I'm saying? What would the Father have had to do? Well, I believe the word that Jesus said for that spirit to come out. And I'm holding on to that. Okay? And this is really crucial, because if you're linked to sight, you'll think, oh, I prayed, but nothing happened. I prayed a day ago, but nothing happened. But see, the Bible says faith and patience inherits the promises. Okay, this is important for us to see. So here we see in verse 26, and the spirit cried, this devilish, evil, tormenting, destructive spirit, cried and rent him sore. Okay, so it must have happened for at least a few seconds after Jesus gave that command. But then it came out of him, and he was as one dead. Inasmuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Now, we won't go into what happened after that, where he talked to his disciples and rebuked them. And there was good reason for that. And if you do a bit of study, you'll understand that they had got mixed up in the wrong way of thinking. And we won't go into that at this stage. I just wanted you to see, it's very important, this is a wonderful section of scripture for us to understand how to walk by faith. So, you know, the word comes. If you're having struggling, if you're having struggles in the area of faith, you cry out to the Lord, ask for help. If there's unbelief, you need to get that out, because we are believers. And it's important, very important for us to go forward in believing. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. I just want us to put our eyes onto this scripture, because this scripture is crucial for us. We've just looked at that scripture in Mark 9, and we saw that right after that command that Jesus gave, a few seconds afterwards, the devil was still playing up and doing his thing, but then the manifestation came, okay? Okay, so we can't be people that walk by sight, can we? And there's many, many examples exactly like that that we could give. So 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. I like to put my eyes onto the scriptures, even if I know it off by heart. I like to put my eyes onto the scriptures, because there's nothing like having that word going into your eyes and into your ears, into your heart, and even to meditate upon it as well. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. We have a walk of faith to walk. We have what we call a Christian walk. And we walk by faith, not by sight. You know, if I walked by sight, I would have given up on quite a few things a long time ago. But I don't walk by sight. I walk by what God has invested in me and given to me, and the word that he's given, and I continue on. Because I know, and the Bible tells me, that there is an expected end for us, and our labour is not in vain. So we must be people that walk by faith, not by sight. So we're choosing to do that walk. We're choosing to be faith people. We're choosing that. If you have a look at Hebrews, well, look at Hebrews 10 verse 38 first of all. And then we'll go into the faith chapter. Everyone should know what the faith chapter is. Faith chapter. What's that faith chapter?
11.
Chapter 11. Praise the Lord. Yes. So, Hebrews 10 verse 38. That's what it says here. And it's just before the faith chapter. It says, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Okay, so what we see here, by the way, that those words, the just shall live by faith, or the just live by faith, is repeated a few times in Scripture. It's not the only verse that has that. And we see here that if you're a justified person who've been washed clean by the blood of Jesus, then your life is to live in a believing way. In other words, the Word of God is going to be very important to you. The Bible talks about glorifying the Word and letting that Word come into you, all right, and to sow it into your heart and making sure that your heart is clean and clear from weeds and so on, so that we can have a life that's pleasing to the Lord. Now you notice it says, but if any man draw back, so God doesn't want us to go backwards. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. When he says my soul, that's not just Paul speaking there, it's also God. Okay, and we link that into Hebrews 11. Let's look at verse 1 first of all. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay, so if it's the evidence of things not seen, then we're not basing our faith walk on seen things. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, remember that Mark 9 that we just read before. So if God says, I am your fortress, all right, you might see something starting to attack you or some trouble starting to come. What you need to do is cast down all thoughts and fears, or thoughts of fear and worry and things like that, and say, no, I refuse that in Jesus' name. And this is the reality, and you put the Word of God in the place of that fear. Okay? Now notice it says, now faith is, so it's a present tense walk, is the substance of things hoped for. Where do you get hope for the things of God? It's in the Holy Scriptures, isn't it? It's in the Scripture of truth. Where do you get hope that you can be free from fear? Well, you would go to the Scriptures which talk about that. For God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And you would go to the other Scripture which says, I shall fear no evil. And he delivers us from all our fears, things like that. And you would take those Scriptures, and if you're particularly having trouble in the area of fear and worry, you would open, remember I said about looking at the Scriptures, there's nothing like looking at them. You would open to those verses and you would look at it with your eye gate and read it out with your mouth, so it goes into your ear gate as well, to make sure that it takes root into your heart. Okay? Very, very important to get that word in. So there's, you now have that hope and that belief. You're choosing to believe that you can be free from fear, that you can be free from torment, because the Bible says fear hath torment. I'm talking about the fear of evil. Fear of evil hath torment. So you can be free. Now, I believe that this, for example, just on that message alone, freedom from fear and torment, is there's a huge message that needs to be heard by the multitudes in the world, for example, because there's many, many people who are suffering horribly in things that the heathen call mental health issues. So you can see that in God there's all types of solutions, and it's in the salvation of God. We are in a blessed place to be able to hear and understand teaching on faith, all right? And it wasn't overnight for me. The Lord, you know, brought me on a journey to understanding it. But praise the Lord. You know, after 40 years in Christ, you'd expect you should know something about it. And I have been 40 years born again. Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful? Glory to God. So, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now go to verse 6 and 7. But without faith it's impossible. It is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Okay, so we've established this many times before. It is impossible to please God without faith. And Jesus was not happy with those who were faithless. Remember, we read that in Mark 9. So that I would expect that amongst Christians, if it's impossible to please God without faith, then I would expect amongst Christians there should be a lot of teaching about how to please God by faith. You see what I'm saying? Because you want to be able to come before the Lord and say, Lord, you know, I have walked by faith. And he'll say, yes, you have. You have. And if you're struggling, as I said, if you're struggling in this area, or if people have been struggling in the area, it's important to get before the Lord, because you don't want to come before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ and find that, you know, you did nothing about it. Notice believing is very important. I said that you must choose to believe. You know, if the atheist was waiting for 100% evidence of God existing, that is, God had to appear before him in a blazing pillar of fire and say, I am God, well, he'd just justify it away anyway, because he'd choose not to believe that. Okay? You see what I'm saying? There's many, many evidences that God exists. But you've got to make that faith choice. You've got to choose to believe, all right, that he exists. But not only that, I mean, it's easy to see that the Creator exists. But you've also got to believe that he is what he says he is in Scripture. You've got to believe that Jesus is the Saviour. He is the Lord. Okay? You've got to believe that God is the rock, the fortress, the defence. Can you see what I'm saying? And when you choose to believe that and go to the scriptures that talk about that, there's many scriptures that talk about that, and you put them into your heart and say out loud, I choose to believe this. God is my refuge and fortress. I choose to believe that. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so. Okay? This is going to be pleasing to the Lord, because you're choosing to believe. And as you say, as it says there, for he that cometh to God, you want to come to God? Must believe. Must means there's no other option if you want to come to God. And you must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, there is a spiritual law attached to this. And the spiritual law is, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. That's in the Old Testament. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. There is reward to seeking the Lord. I just want to read verse 7. I won't go into detail about this because I covered it on Sunday. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. So there's the word that came to Noah, okay? A global flood. Okay, moved with fear. That's not the fear of evil, that's the fear of the Lord. Reverence for his word. For his ways, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. How did his actions condemn the world? Well, the world, even though the Bible calls Noah a preacher of righteousness, he must have preached, look, there's a flood coming, take me serious, it comes from the Lord, that's why I'm building this great big ship called an ark, made of gopher wood, etc. Believe, they chose not to believe, and so there was condemnation on them from the Lord. Okay, you see that judgment came upon them. But they could have chosen to believe, but they didn't. But he became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Okay, have a look at 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. So I'm asking the question, are you walking by faith? Now, that means if you're a Christian believer, you want to please the Lord, you have to walk by faith. You have to walk by faith, not by sight. And the way to do that is to get the Word of God into your life. Choose to believe it. Choose to hear it with your inner man ears. Not just allowed to go in one ear and out the other. There's many that do that. I'm convinced that this church is filled with people that, you know, as soon as they get out of the church, you know, the sermon may have been really great, but they completely forget what they've just heard and they act completely contrary to what they've just heard. And that's a sad thing, isn't it? Very sad. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. Now, it talks about having a spirit of faith. Now, our born-again spirits, remember, we've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. Well, that's the characteristics of faith. Okay? It says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Now, this is very important for us to see. We see that if you've got a spirit of faith, you're going to say, I believe, or I choose to believe those words of the Lord, and therefore I'm going to speak. As it says there, we also believe, and therefore speak. Therefore means on the basis of your belief, you will speak. On the basis of your belief, you'll speak. We also believe and therefore speak. This is the characteristic of a spirit of faith. How do you know you're walking by faith? Well, you're saying, I choose to believe it and I'm speaking it. That's a big evidence. It's a big evidence. And then when something contrary comes along, what are you going to choose to believe? You're going to choose to believe that the devil is stronger than the Lord, or are you going to choose to believe the Scripture? Well, if you're a person of the Word, and I believe that the Lord wants an end-time church that is a Word-washed, Word-filled, Word-glorifying church, then that church is going to be a faithful type of church, a strong type of church, strong in faith. All right, so that's going to be a church that God wants to get that end time harvest done. Now, if we were to look across the earth today, my goodness, if we were looking by sight, we'd think the Gospels had little impact at the moment. We see right across the earth a vast majority of people not born again or Christians compromised, all types of things wrong. But we're walking by faith, we know the Scriptures, that Christ is going to present himself for a glorious church. So we know that that's coming, and that's something to believe for. So, in your personal life, we also believe and therefore speak. This is a spirit of faith. This is something we have to take to heart if we want to please the Lord. Very important for us. If you have a look at a couple more scriptures. Hebrews 4, I could preach on this for hours, but I know we don't have hours tonight. But I could preach on it for hours. If I was to say, do you want to hear a 3-hour sermon? Well, some might say, well, yeah, let's go for it. But tonight we won't. But let's have a look at Hebrews 4, and we'll look at verses 1. Hebrews 4, verses 1 to 3. Hebrews 4, 1 to 3. And it says, let us therefore fear, and it's just talking about the fear of the Lord, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Do you think there's people who come short of believing the promises of God and entering into the rest of God? I think there's many that are coming short in that area. Verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So isn't it, how important is it to hear with the ears of faith, the inner man ears, and to say, I choose to believe that word that's preached? How important is that? I think it's very, very important. Why? Because then the preaching will profit you. In fact, the scripture is meant to profit us. That's what it says. All scripture is inspired by God. It's for to be profitable for the people of God. So we see here that if you want the preaching to profit you, you've got to mix it with faith. You've got to choose. In other words, you've got to make that choice to choose to believe it and then act upon it by speaking it, speaking the word, and acting upon it as though you believe it. All right? Very important for us to see this. Verse 3. For we which have what?
Believed
do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. So, who enters into the rest of God? That is, they're not struggling in themselves. They don't have those problems of unbelief and fear and worry and doubt about whether the scriptures are true and all that type of thing. But those who choose to believe, as it says there, for we which have believed do enter into rest. So believing and faith go hand in hand. All right. There are people, as that man in Mark 9 said, Lord, I believe. I'm choosing to believe. I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Okay, so acknowledge that there was something that needed to be fixed up. He was on the right track. He was on the right track. Okay, and we, if we're honest with the Lord, can go on the right track as well. As I said, 40 years ago, I wasn't perfect in any of this. But I did choose to believe in the area of healing, interestingly enough. I was involved in a motorbike accident and injured. I believe I broke my foot. But I didn't, you know, I was stubborn back then in the Word, and I chose to believe that God had healed me, and I walked on it, and you know, it cleared up within a week or two. Praise the Lord for that, even though it was agony walking on it. Now, I don't necessarily expect people to do that type of thing, but I'm just giving you a testimony of how I chose to believe that particular word. There are other areas where I had a lot of struggles in believing, and it wasn't until I chose to believe in those areas that things changed. Praise the Lord. So how do you enter into the rest of God, into that wonderful rest that's provided by the Lord Jesus Christ? Verse 3 says, for we which have believed do enter into rest. We which have believed do enter into rest. Let's have a look at Mark 11. Mark 11 is one of those great faith chapters as well. And, you know, you could preach a long time on Mark 11, and I know that there's all types of faith preachers who have indeed preached a long time and many sermons on Mark 11. Well, I'm just going to go through a few things in Mark 11 here, just so that you can understand a few things about faith and perhaps one or two barriers. We've already talked a little bit about one barrier, and that is unbelief. And also, if you don't choose to believe, so there's another barrier. So, looking at Mark 11, we'll look at verses 12 to 14 first of all. There's an incident that happened in the life of Jesus. And it says, "And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it." Now, do you think 2 seconds after Jesus said that, that the tree withered up? No. You could have stood there for another hour and it would still have looked green, still have looked as though it was fine. Okay? But the command had gone forth. Jesus believed that what he said came to pass. He had a spirit of faith. All right? A spirit of faith. And notice the result that came out of that. Now go to verse 20. "And in the morning," okay, so some time had passed, "in the morning," this is in Mark 11, "as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursedst is withered away." Now, Jesus uses this as an illustration of faith. All right? Jesus did not walk by sight. And he gave the command. He must have believed that what he said would come to pass. Okay? He must have believed that. And you could see that from what he says after this. "Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God." Now, this is a command, have faith in God. And it doesn't apply just to his disciples, it's applying to all of us because we walk by faith, we live by faith, we stand by faith, we believe. We're to be people that speak out of faith as well. We have a spirit of faith. Have faith in God. It doesn't say there, have the faith of God, okay? Although it is God's faith that's invested in us. It says have faith in God, that is, in what God says, who he is, and that, his word is true. I mean, if you know what God is and who he is, then you'll know he's pure, true, honest, strong, mighty, and so on. He's not going to let you down. But he also cannot reward unbelief and other things outside of faith, because if you don't have faith, without faith it's impossible, impossible, impossible to please him. Have faith in God. Verse 23, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." A lot of people get caught up in this idea of the mountain. Okay? The mountain. Now, there are obstacles or mountains. Alright? Now, this is important for us to see, that need to be taken out of the way. They could come up. It might be in our lives. We need to get it out of the way. And you need to speak to these type of things. Be thou removed, get out in the name of Jesus. But notice it says, shall not doubt in his heart. So what can be a problem? You could be speaking. And I remember years ago, there was a man, he was having all types of troubles. And, you know, I was a bit naive in my first 3 years as a Christian. And I said, why don't you just speak to it and command it to... And he said, I am doing that and it's not working. The Lord showed me years ago, several years later, he showed me that that man was just trying to speak things, that there was no believing in his heart because he was saying one thing and then he's saying, it's not working. So he was like double-minded there. I perhaps should have been a little bit diplomatic and prayed with him or something like that, but I was a young Christian at the time. Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, so we've got to get the doubt out, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. So remember, a spirit of faith is about believing in your heart, and saying, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So if you speak to mountains, but you're not really believing, you're going to ask yourself, well, why? Why? Okay? Now, that's where you've got to get into the Word. Fill yourself with the Word. Okay, in verse 24, he says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, and this is godly desires, obviously, not desiring, oh, I desire that person be killed, or Lord, I desire a plan that you can show me how to murder that person or rob that person. No, that's nothing to do with the Lord. What things soever ye desire, when ye pray, you've got to get an understanding of godly desires. When ye pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So, when ye pray, believe. There's that believing. We see the word believe coming up a lot, don't we? Believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So right at the time you pray, the manifestation of your prayer, not necessarily instant, sometimes it might be, but there might be a few seconds later, it might be a few months later, it might even be a few years later. But if you persist, you've prayed and stand in that, and notice what he says in verse 25. I think it's a big, big problem in people trying to be praying in faith, and yet they've got things in their heart. Verse 25 and says, and when ye stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Now, so when you say, stand praying, forgive, well, you might say, well, I don't feel like it. That person's done all types of bad things. Last time I was in their presence, they yelled at me and did this and that and called me that and called me, did this, and behind my back they backstabbed me and turned people against me and did this and that. And how do you get around that, do you think? Well, I'm going to bring you back to what I said right at the very beginning. You've got to choose. You can choose to forgive them by faith. You say, I choose to forgive that person by faith, not on the basis of my feelings, but because you have said that I have to forgive them, Lord. And I choose and I make myself willing before you to forgive them by faith in Jesus' name. And Lord, help me, because I'm going to pray for them in the Spirit now in Jesus' name, and help them, turn them around so that they can become a child of God as well. So, you know, pray for your enemies. Look, there's people that have done some pretty bad things against me in the past. To get around that, or to get through that, I chose to forgive them by faith, and that's the way we should do it. So our whole approach is not on the basis of feelings or sight. It's on the basis of the Word of God, which tells us you have to do that, okay, and you'll get this. And we don't want unforgiveness to be in there, because that's going to be something that'll stop us from operating in faith and walking by faith. Okay, we don't want unbelief in there. We don't want doubt in there. We want to choose to believe, all right? And this is so very important. I pray that you got something out of this tonight, because there are many people that are not exposed to any faith messages, okay? It's a sad thing, because it's impossible to please God without faith. You'd expect that there would be tons of sermons in almost every church concentrating on getting people to please the Lord in their Christian walk. Okay, so let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you for the direction that you are showing us and leading us. And Lord, I pray for everyone here that there be a clear path for every person here to be able to walk by faith in the name of Jesus. Help us all, Lord. And if there be any barriers, I pray that you help us to come to realize that and in you, deal with those. Help us and show us, Lord. Let it be absolutely clear to everyone here what needs to be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Amen. We're going to give